I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about rest and I suppose some of my own struggles or lack of awareness maybe of rest. I'm going to read from Hebrews 4 in a minute from the Message version. But before I get into that, just as a bit of background, like rest, this idea of rest is probably something that I've always struggled with. Like I'm either like on the go, full speed, you know, working, family stuff, church stuff, like flat out, or I'm burnt out, like I'm sick, I'm off work for some reason. Like it's never really an in-between. And even when I'm not working or I'm not doing something else, my head is probably going on something and I'm not really off. You know what I mean? And I was, does anyone know what ChatGPT is? Yeah, AI. I asked ChatGPT this week, I saw this trend online where you get it to roast your Instagram feed. So you give it a picture of your Instagram feed and it slags you basically. And one of the lines that it said in my one was, you've clearly mastered the dad post, one kid under each arm and that forced smile that says, I haven't slept properly in 5 years. And it's like, okay, it's bad when the computers are even seeing, like, you know, you're not resting well here, like, you're holding it together. And I often feel like I just can't rest, you know, like, and not because, like, I don't know how, but, like, I get this, I feel guilty, you know, it's like, because I have this picture of what resting looks like, right, which is probably, like, you're sitting down, you're probably not doing anything, you know, you're chilling out, you know, maybe you're on holidays, maybe you're beside a pool, maybe, you know, it's like, it's a picture of like not being engaged in something. And I've two small kids at home and it doesn't feel like, I'd feel guilty if I'd said, Becky, I'm sorry, I have to go and rest now. I'm just going to go sit in here and be quiet and rest. Like, it doesn't feel like something that's feasible, you know? And then, but what happens from there then is, like that, the pattern of not resting kind of plays out in my life. And looking at it now, it's like, it's chaotic. Like, it is chaotic. Everything is mad. Everything is mental. Everything's crazy all the time. Like, going from work, you know, which is mad, and coming home and dealing with kids that can be mad. And then there's stuff in church. And then there's crashing onto the couch at 9 o'clock. Or whatever in the evening, going like, oh, like I'm gonna go to bed, you know, or watching something on the telly just to zone out, you know, not very restful, you know. It's like a recovery more than a rest, or an escape more than a rest, and yeah, that picture of what this kind of blissful, restful thing. You know, doesn't really happen. You know, maybe like when you go on holidays once a year, if you're lucky, you get that moment, you know, where you can sit by the pool and, you know, you don't have to worry about the time and, you know, your head's not going on work or whatever. But that's almost abnormal. You know, it's not like, or it's something that you like save all your madness up for the end of the year, and then you get to like decompress in a short space of time. And this week I was reading Hebrews 4 from the Bible Project and it talks about rest, and I felt the Lord speaking to me, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's 16 verses from the Message, and then I'll tell you what I felt the Lord was saying to me in it. For as long then as that promise of resting in Him pulls us on to God's goal for us, we need to be careful that we're not disqualified. We receive the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. If we believe, though, we'll experience that state of resting, but not if we don't have faith. Remember that God said, exasperated, I vowed, they'll never get where they're going, never be able to sit down and rest. God made that vow even though He'd finished His part before the foundation of the world. Somewhere it's written, God rested the seventh day having completed His work. But in this other text He says, they'll never be able to sit down and rest. So this promise has not yet been fulfilled. Those earlier ones never did get to the place of rest because they were disobedient. God keeps renewing the promise and setting the date as today, just as he did in David's psalm centuries later than the original invitation. Today, please listen, don't turn a deaf ear. And so this is still a live promise. It wasn't cancelled at the time of Joshua, otherwise God wouldn't have kept renewing the appointment for today. The promise of arrival and rest is still there for God's people. God himself is at rest, and at the end of the journey we'll surely rest with God. So let's keep at it and eventually arrive at the place of rest, not drop out through some sort of disobedience. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one can resist God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a high priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. So this, I was preparing for this week. Oh, that's handy, it's on the screen down there. I could have been reading it there. In preparing for it this week, I was looking at, what scriptures are like on the list this week for the Bible Project, and there was Psalm 100 was one of them, and I actually preached, it must have been around this week last year, because I had a message for Psalm 100. I was like, happy days, like that saves me a bit of time. I was like, is that bad, like, to reuse one from last year? And I was like debating it, and Becky's like, yeah, it's bad. So I was like, Lord, what do you want me to say? And then I felt him say, and this was so clear and it was so immediate, this phrase, my day of rest is coming for you. And I was like, whoa, like the day of rest is coming. And then thinking about it, I was like, what does that even mean? Like, thanks, but I don't get it. So I was reading back over it then, and this part in verse 9, this is in the NIV, it says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Therefore, let us make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish following their example of disobedience. And it's this idea of, like, we can enter rest. It's not something that you have to wait for a certain time and place for. Like, I always have thought about rest and this idea of Sabbath as, like, you know, that's a thing you do on Sunday, you know, or like it's a Saturday thing, or there's like a day that you set aside, like you see in scripture in Genesis where the Lord set apart the seventh day and made it holy. It's like, okay, I have a whole day where I'm doing this. Like, if it's not the whole day, then it's not being obedient to what scripture says. And the thing that just clicked with me this week, and I don't know how it took me this long to get this, was like that this state of rest is not limited to a day. Being in God's rest and being able to enter into a place of rest is not something that only happens on a certain day. That the invitation is being renewed every single day, and that he's been issuing the invitation for a long time. You know, all the way back to Genesis, we see that pattern of on the seventh day that he rested, and then in his commandments he lays out like the commandment to keep the Sabbath. Or I think it says it is good for you to keep the Sabbath. Like it's he's recommending this as a good thing. And the part that just stood out to me in this thing in Hebrews is that it says today. Like God is saying that the day that this is available to you is any day that's called today. You know, it's like this is not a Sunday thing or a Saturday thing. It's those, but it's also Monday, Tuesday, and all the other days. So we're invited into rest once it's today, and if we hear his voice, it says, "Do not harden our hearts." And like, you know, thinking about it, it's like if the Lord is speaking to you, you know, and I believe that he's spoken to me this week, and this stuff is like, you have to allow that to penetrate your heart. You have to allow that to sink in, and not just to bounce off. You know, to hear it, not just to hear it, but to actually feel it. I heard him saying, your day of rest is coming. And as someone who's like, I feel like I'm constantly running, I'm constantly chasing, I'm constantly moving, I'm never resting. Hearing the Lord say, your day of rest is coming, is something that has to like sink deep into me. It has to cut my heart open and go, God, thank you. You know, as to, if my reaction is not one of gratitude and like accepting it, then what I've done is I've put a shield up and I'm letting that bounce off me. They have to sink into me and open me up. This is what it says in Hebrews. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And like that word, you know, that this call to rest, this invitation, this daily updated invitation, is something that needs to open up our hearts. It's something that needs to cut into us and expose us and you know, uncover our hearts and lay them bare before the Lord and go, what is there here that's stopping me? What is there here that's taking a position in my heart that's stopping me from entering into your rest? Because being in a state of rest before the Lord is doesn't mean sitting on your arse and not doing anything. You know, it means that you're not striving. It means you're not putting your own works, your own plans above what He has for you. You know, you're intentionally stopping and saying, I could be making money today, I could be making progress on these things today, but I'm not going to, because I trust that you're in control, and I trust that your plan is greater than my plan, and that you can show up for me and provide for me in ways that I can't. And Hebrews makes this connection between this invitation to rest. So it talks about this, you know, the invitation to rest being for today. Then it talks about the word of God being able to pierce your heart and your soul. And then it goes on to talk about Jesus as our high priest. This is what it says at the end, the last two verses, 14, 15, 16, that would be three verses. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hold firmly to the faith we profess. What's the faith? What are we professing? We're saying that God is for us and that He will bring us into a place of rest. You know, it's not just an empty invitation. You know, come to the party in this place at this time and you go there and it's an empty warehouse. It's not that. He can fulfill the invitation. He invites us into rest, and we can take it and trust that He'll bring us there. And since everything, you know, is uncovered and laid bare before Him, that means that He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly the situations that we're in. He knows exactly the things that are like the anti-rest patterns in our lives. And not only that, but Jesus can actually relate to that stuff. It says we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in every way. So that means for me, when I'm stressed, when I'm dealing with situations outside of my control or outside of my own abilities, that I'm facing, you know, into stuff that I've never done but have to do, and going through something that seems impossible, that Jesus can relate to the stuff I'm going through. I was writing down things this week that I was like, that I've been dealing with recently, and you know, it was almost like in my head I was trying to make sure that was actually true. You know, that like, well, did Jesus really go through everything that, you know? And I would write something down and be like, didn't go through that. And then it's like, no, actually, yeah, he did. And you know, stupid things like, there was this thing I've been going, having to deal with at the moment, where someone had laid some accusations against me, and then like this thing came into my mind going, yeah, Jesus didn't know about that. And I was like, you big sap. Like, you know, we're reading the kids' Bible story stuff with with them at night before they go to sleep, and we're on those stories where, you know, where Jesus is accused and, you know, brought before the courts and all that stuff, and it's like, you big dope, like, of course he knows what it's like to have stuff laid against him, you know, and yeah, like, he can relate to everything, you know, but not just that he can relate, that he understands, but he's in the presence of God. He is God himself. He has access. He intercedes on our behalf. Like, he's the one who's opened heaven for us, you know. And so, because of all of these things, we can hold on to our hope that God will bring us into rest. That there's still a today for each of us. That there's still a today that we can take hold of. That there's a grace for us. That's what it says at the end of that passage. That there's grace to help us in our time of need. And that there's rest for us in our time of need. And I think I've probably found this hard to wrestle with at times is, like, it's okay to say this stuff, that we all need help. We do, like, we all need help. We all need grace. We all need mercy. And we all have a great high priest who intercedes on our behalf. And because of him, God's throne is one of grace that we can approach and not one of judgment. And when we enter into rest in our day-to-day lives, we're saying to the Lord that I know you're still on the throne. I know you're still there. I know you're still in control. And in doing that, we're saying, actually, Lord, I'm giving up control. I'm putting down my stuff. You know, I'm giving up the outcome, which is, that's the hardest part for me. I find it easy to hand something over to the Lord in the moment, but then I'm just, like, trying to steer him towards the thing that I want him to do, you know, the way that I want it to work out. And it's like, no, you have to not just give up the stuff while it's happening, but you have to give up the outcome as well. You know, even if it doesn't come out the way that you wanted it to, that doesn't change that God's still in control and he's still the one on the throne. That as we lay it all down, we approach the throne where we find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And if that's not something that ministers to your heart, I think you need to go back to that part earlier on in the chapter and look at, is the words penetrating your soul? Is it getting in there and ministering to your heart, or has your heart been hardened? Finding grace to help in your time of need, not judgment. Not finding help because we deserve it, but because of his grace. Gracious help. I'm going to finish with a time of communion. And just as a way of, like, a way of entering rest, a way of putting ourselves in the position to find and encounter the mercy and grace that God offers to us in our time of need. I'm going to read that last part from the message again. This is verses 14 to 16. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help.